That'll warm my brain up. I've been so cool and calm and collected this whole day. I need something to warm me up. That's not true. This day's been hell. The devil really doesn't want the beginning of a victory that we had last week. I have dealt with more imps from hell today than any day since this crisis started. And it's all based on the same thing. The devil doesn't want the message of the blood to go out. He sure doesn't want you to understand it and apply it. And now I'm here to have to deal with you. I look around at the voices of faith and I know this is nothing like the number of voices of faith we had last Thursday. Nobody believed I would be live tonight. The battle's not won, folks. I'm not threatening anymore. I'm just going to do. I came here with two objectives. Restore the church to faith and respect for God-ordained leadership, which is respect for the office of the pastor. Yes, sir. That includes my wife, administrative pastor. Don't ever forget that.
Yes, sir.
And don't ever forget from a long ago Sunday at King's House 1. A long ago Sunday, I said, I'm not on trial. You are. Shut the door over there. I've dealt with problems from the minute I drove in this garage about 6:15 until 1 minute before the festival started. I don't think you believe. Really don't. Most of you, I don't think you believe. What you believe? You sure don't have faith to change your body in action, confirming the belief. I don't believe that you believe. Finally, be continually empowered. A dunamis state. That's a source of power not within you. Has to come from outside and come into you. And it adds a dimension, like Samson when he was faint, and the Ruach of God breathed into him and he became strong. Or each time you read the Spirit of the Lord came upon somebody in the Old Testament, the Ruach of God. The breath of God's Spirit. It doesn't mean some new cluster of atoms and down into quantum physics. Neutrinos and quarks and those subatomic elements clear down to what they cannot identify. some primordial soup from which the basic elements that then become atoms and clusters of all the things we call reality randomly leap out, which means you're just a cluster of soup. It's hard to believe, just as it was hard for me to first believe that there's more space in me than matter, and that in my being, if we reduce it down, there's constant movement of these atomic and subatomic particles clear down to something we can't identify, which I call the pervasive extension of God's Spirit that sustains and holds this world together. You're not going to find in a microscope the Ruach of God. You're not going to find some set of elements that can go on one of these physics tables of the elements. It sustains all reality, but it's a living personal being, the extension of God's Spirit, omnipresent, that can manifest itself anytime, any manner. Mankind has the image of God in him. That and that alone makes us different from animals. The nephesh is in all being, all blood-bearing, breathing creatures. He breathed ruach. He breathed is another word in which he releases into the nostrils of Adam, the ruach of God. And man became a nephesh, living, image of God in him, beyond the ordinary nephesh life. Apart from God, diminishes. God takes his breath away from sinning man and leaves but the vestigial remnant. At any time, he could do as he did with Samson, breathe into him, or the Spirit of the Lord could come upon a prophet. But he's coming into sinning flesh. Justified is Romans 3:25, not to it yet, the last half of the verse. Justified, because the price God paid to do that was paid. And thus, as the Ethiopic says it, he's just and the justifier of all who sins from the creation until now. I've been yelling at people and I've lost my voice, but I'll get it back. Now the Holy Spirit can come and dwell in us. But most Christians, including most of my congregation, think you can do it on your own. Be continually empowered and dunamited. In what? In the Lord. Well, how can that happen when he's in you? In Romans 8, we're not there yet, we'll tell you clearly. When the Spirit is in you, you're in the Lord. And in the might, kratai, close to dynamite, but more so. Like a volcanic explosion. Energy of that sort. Of the strength, iskous, outu of him. Put on the whole armor of God. For you to be able to stand against the schemes. The Greek word is methodias, from which we get methods. The methods or schemes of the devil, diabolu. Because hoti uk, because not esten is. He mean to us, he poly, the wrestling, only once, the only time in the New Testament that word's used. I told you that before, I preached through Ephesians. It comes from the Olympic Games, where one-on-one contest occurred that would not stop until one of the wrestlers got the other one down with his foot on his neck. You might feign, trick, act like you're being whipped, and wait for a moment while the other person drops his guard, but there's no stopping, no timeouts, no rest times. One-on-one poly. Never a break. Never a moment of R&R. Poly wrestling until one gets the other one down with his foot on his neck. Because naught is to us he poly the wrestling. I'm going literal. Against pros, haima, you know that word, blood. Kai sarka, flesh, derivative of sarx. Allah, but pros against tas arkas, personalities, rulers. Pros tas exousias, against authorities. I've taught on it enough, I don't need to. Arkos, territories. Authorities, functional activity areas. Demon personalities assign territories. The prince of Persia was strong enough that Gabriel alone could not even break through to bring the answer to prayer to Daniel. 2 weeks the prince of Persia withstood him. That wasn't the earthly king. Because he says he couldn't even break through to get to Daniel. 2 weeks late bringing the answer to his prayer. Until Michael, the chief of princes, now we know we're talking about angelic princes. If you went to the exhibit on Sunday of the songs of the Sabbath sacrifice, were out of the heart of those Judaic people, they recognized what went on in the temple down here was not complete. So they had that manuscript in which they wrote the hymns to portray in their imagination angelic beings doing in heaven the finished work. And they, out of their angelology and demonology, had the number one prince and the number two prince, 13 Sabbaths a quarter. They sang these songs every Sunday or every Sabbath, recognizing something had to go on in heaven to complete the propitiation. The reference now is to angelic beings. Michael, the chief prince, had to come and fight with Gabriel to break the power of that demonic prince under the prince of the power of the air that ruled the Persian Empire. Through the earthly king, who really thought he was in charge. But you let Gabriel come through the territory of that prince of the power of the air in the hierarchy, the prince of Persia assigned to that one. He could get his troops off of an earthly Persian long enough to deal and fight with Gabriel, and Gabriel couldn't break through until Michael came, the chief of princes, and the two of them put down the prince. Long enough for Gabriel to get through, and then Gabriel says when he finishes with Daniel, I'm going back, and I and Michael will finish the job, and the prince of Persia will be no more. And everybody in history wonders why Alexander the Great could come in so swift. Because the prince of Grecia would move into that vacuum as Michael and Gabriel destroyed the hold of the territory, the Arkos, Super Arkos, the prince of Persia. Alexander the Great, the oracle in Egypt, became demon-possessed. And by the way, Antichrist will not reveal or come into his full nature. He's not some little boy running around the world today. He will come to power like a natural man, not until the prince is in the middle of the tribulation, is released out of the abyss or out of the bottomless pit, as the King James has it, the abyss. The place that those that were in the little boy when Jesus rebuked them out, the legion out of the little boy of Galilee, and they begged that he not send them to the abyss. The very same prince that empowered, the prince of Grecia that empowered Alexander the Great, now chained in the abyss, will be released and enter into Antichrist, and then he will go to perdition and become full-blown evil. I don't know what Bible you read that doesn't recognize these forces. Adam forfeited the control of this earth, and by God's permissive plan, Lucifer, Satan, became the prince of the power of the air, and his fallen angels with him in his hierarchy on this earth. Some are assigned territories. He doesn't have omnipotent power. Only a third of heaven. He's got the smaller force. But we're not a match against him. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against Archos. These are not impersonal forces. Rulers, even small territorial. I'm sure the prince of Persia ruled over sub-evil angels that were assigned every little town and territory within his domain. Exousias. Personal demons with functional areas of focus. Cosmocratoros. Against Cosmocratoros. World rulers. Same root word as kratai. Extra powerful rulers of this cosmos, of this darkness. Prosta pneumatica, against spiritual beings. Tis ponereus, of evil in the air about us. Epuranils. That's what we wrestle against. And there is no way. I don't care what your intentions. Do I believe that the people that their attention was gotten last week when they were all fired, came back? Do I believe that they want to make it? Sure. Do you think if they go to work for some local worldly industry out here, God's going to waste any cosmocratoros on them? The minute you walk in this door, the minute you commit yourself, it's like breaking out of prison. They don't harass you with dogs and come after you with the intent to shoot you if necessary. When you're in the rec yard or even an isolation cell in a prison, it's when you break loose. Then all the forces available are launched after the escapee. Have you heard nothing of what I've taught these past weeks? Lutruo, Lutron, Apolutrino. The words of ransoming, buying back from slavery, buying military prisoners back from slavery. You have been bought from slavery. You may be so dumb you're some deluded nut in prison and don't know it. The devil loves that. He doesn't care what you do with your life. He doesn't even care if you pay tithe. If it's but a means of buying God off so you can do what you want to do with your life, the rest of your life, and go the way you want to go and never have to submit to the cross and recognize I'm crucified with Christ. He doesn't care how much you miss the mark. as long as you're not on target. I've had too many people these 29 years come here and figuratively with their spiritual life go insane. Put them outside the gate 5 minutes and they become sane. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The poly is not against flesh and blood. I can watch it and see it when I'm correcting a person. I feel their spirit. I see the flesh in their face. I see the self-preservation come up. And I watch the devil take them over. Because he wants that one-on-one combat with me too. Through you. An argumentative spirit. An unsubmissive spirit. A me-first spirit. An I'm-right spirit. There's nothing right in any of you. You're dung and refuse. That's why I hate so many of these churches today that cater to you. Send polls, what do you want from your church? Who cares what you want from your church? The church is a people that no longer have any wants or rights. It's what God wants, and He's already established. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Well, I want a democratic church. Well, then go to hell. There's nothing more undemocratic than the Bible. You can't find me where the majority's been wrong any time in the Bible, been right any time in the Bible. They're always wrong. 400 prophets catering to the king. One prophet comes and tells the truth. Don't bring him. He never makes me happy. He's always beating on me with some bad news. How much of the Bible, just think about it, how much of the Bible is God's people being saved, straightened out, and led right by one person? Find me a place in the Bible where a committee ever rescued God's people and put them on the track. Find me one. One man raised up by God. Look at Jeremiah. Made the trustee of both the kingdoms through the tearing down, the ripping apart, and the destruction of them, and the replanting of them. God called him when he was in his mother's womb. This generation, you either go to the extreme of some fanatical Simon the sorcerer who's got some new message, or you pervert the idea of a priest in your own home, and you sit in judgment and hunt and peck here and there, and you're ruling your Christian behavior. You either build a church and get a bunch of dumb sheep that you have to deal with, and get out on point, and face Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ for the way you shepherded them, or you find a shepherd you are willing to trust, and you follow him. And you obey those that have rule over you, for they watch for your soul. This is a generation that flips the American eagle in a sense of dignity to any kind of authority. This is a generation that must make its own decision. And you're no match for the devil. No match. Finally, be continually empowered in the Lord and in the might of the strength of Him. Put on the whole armor of God. Well, where does that start? Stand therefore, having girded the waist of you with truth. Aletheia. Every time you start trying to preserve yourself, I just dealt with a person that's been listening to my ministry for years, and she looked startled when I said to her, "Who put that hat on the ground?" How many times have you heard me use that illustration? That in boot camp, they're going to break your will down and make you understand authority. And the sergeant goes by in boot camp and knocks your hat off, your cap off your head, and it's on the ground. And the sergeant looks at this ruddy-faced, hotshot, mama's boy, just decides he likes the uniforms and he's going to be a Marine. Like the heavyweight champion, remember? The world heavyweight champion was going to be a Marine. He lasted a week. He lasted a week. The sergeant comes along, knocks your cap off, and says, "Who put that cap on the floor, soldier?" You better not say, "You, sir." I mean, in case any of you want to be a Marine, I'm telling you now. Don't ever give that answer. Or you may eat that cap. "I did, sir, and may I please, with your permission, pick it up?" "Well, that's lying. Who made you the judge of truth?" That's as old as Pilate, the onlooking referee. "What is truth?" She said, "I'm the truth, living right in front of you. Truth's what I say it is." Don't get all hot and bothered about truth until you're willing to face it about yourself. And it starts at the cross. And it's that willful, self-preserving, arrogant, "I'm the judge and jury." I've had one guy on my staff, not anymore, for 20 years. I've used this illustration. If he had come in my house, raped my wife, sodomized my children, stolen everything, and found a Bible to take a crap on, and I said, "You dirty rat, how dare you come through that door just because it was open and come in here," man, the whole subject changes. Now we're into poly, because he didn't come through the door, even though he knew it was open, he came through a side window. And now we get into a debate. Now the poly has changed. Doesn't matter that I've sodomized your wife or sodomized your children and raped your wife and crapped on the Bible and did all the other things. You will not falsely accuse me of coming through that door. I came through the window. You better understand you aren't entitled to fairness.
Yes, sir.
All of you better understand.
Yes, sir.
And not one of you in your whole life, anywhere you've been, from parents to your job, that your parents or your boss has ever caught you in all the things wrong you've done. So don't lay your trip of fairness on me when I happen to have turned on the radar screen of discernment and caught you doing some thing that you don't think that the full picture that I have of what you did is completely accurate, because you came through the side window. You better just shut your mouth, because you've probably been sodomizing wives and children and raiding houses, to carry my ludicrous extreme example. This ain't the first time you've been caught doing that. It ain't the last time. And if you didn't do that, you did something worse. It becomes an opportunity for you to die to self. Why not you? It just happens to be God's way that God deals with me. I deal with you. You aren't sleeping around the clock with me. You aren't with me 24 hours a day. You don't know the way God deals with me. That's the penalty of being on point. God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting or bringing to completion or equipping the saints. While you're looking for a saving of God's people anywhere in the Bible by a committee, find the verse where God gave saints to perfect domitas. Can't even bring a charge against an elder, which has a domita in the language of the New Testament. You can't even bring a charge except in the presence of witnesses in a precise way. God has His way of dealing with bad kings in the Old Testament, bad domita. For you to not think God can take care of His domita is to pit you in poly against God. If you don't like the domita you're following, go find another one. That's your only choice. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
There's only one choice. The domita's way or the highway?
Yes, sir.
Now, I told you where I firmed this up years ago when I was teaching pastor with the largest church in the denomination and the most glorious leader in the minds of most people. He later got indicted for a felony of misusing people's money. And only kept him going to prison because the judge said he was the only one that could, if he stayed where he was, pay the debt. But he had to be supervised like a parolee. But he was the glorious hero of the denomination. I was there teaching pastor briefly. Came out of a board meeting and said to me, I said, well, how'd it go? Wonderful. They voted everything I wanted and thought it was their idea. Then and there, I made up my mind. And I said to him, I said, well, I can't do that. I couldn't do that. Well, that's the way you handle them. Then and there I made up my mind. If I couldn't deal honestly with my congregation in my earlier, stupider years, I'd leave. No, I'd say it's still the same. If I can't deal honestly, I'll eliminate myself. You won't have to. You may want to be cuddled and coddled and sweet-talked and manipulated and led to ideas that you think are your own. Well, you want me to mail you the yellow pages of the church section in your local town? I'm sure I can find it through AT&T or someone. God has commissioned me to equip you for the ministry till we all come to a unity of the faith, till we all come to the knowledge of the perfect man, till we're no longer children tossed about with every wind of doctrine. God's called me to lead you home, not call you. I'm not doing my job if you can't figure out. You can't make it without a domita, but you sure can't make it with or without a domita. If you're not continually empowered in the Lord and in the might and the strength of Him and you put on the whole armor of God, which starts with the belt of truth. Take the belt off, the whole armor falls down. It's so rare, I wonder if I will ever meet a person that when they've been caught doing something, won't immediately go on the defensive and lie to themselves and try to paint their black gray. You can't have this endowment, and you can't win the fight, which is poly, against these forces. Lying and covering your... You know, the problem with covering your ass all the time is you're going the wrong direction. Maybe I ought to just stop right there and let you think about that. I mean, you understand why we're not winning any battles when all you do is try to cover your ass?
Yes, sir.
You're going the wrong direction. But more seriously, take yourself out of the blood. You didn't get up today to die. to self and come alive. You know how to have faith in the blood? There is, you can go cover to cover through this book, the love of God culminates in the blood of Christ. Yes, we deserve to be slaughtered. And he paid the price. If there could ever be the song sung, could we with ink, the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stone on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God, but drain the ocean dry. I missed the line, the ocean filled with ink. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. God gave his son was slaughtered, that he might raise, and then give to us the power that coursed through his veins, and the Holy Spirit with a veil rent could come to endynamite us with his crocodile strength and the or might and the strength of him, Iskos. He loved us enough to die for us that he might love us with his strength to enable us to be what Adam and Eve were not, but rather to be what Christ was, with a measure of the same spirit that coursed through his veins and raised him from the dead, and ascended with him, and cleansed the heavens, and is now free to come through the rent veil, and empower us. But if you don't put yourself in the blood, and quit protecting yourself, and start acting and reckoning yourself dead, the Holy Spirit cannot become the new man, become the strength coursing, the dynamite coursing, the might coursing through your veins as that same Spirit coursed through our Lord's veins. As long as you're trying to keep the old man alive. But fool, you or me, that can't see beyond that daily dying to the life eternal and can sing as Paul did, as though I die daily and this old man dies daily. The new man in me is being built up daily. Putting off the old man. Putting it into the blood. Putting on the new man. Raised and dispensed from the throne to empower me. And then you stumble, which is human. You get corrected, which is right. And you start self-protective, self-preservation, pulling yourself out of the blood. How in the world are you going to get the life that he loves to give you? You've got to. It's a divorce, friend. You quit going to bed with your ex-wife in the presence of your new wife. Maybe I can, as God, get it down where men and women live. Every time you start protecting that old man that went into the blood of Christ, you're making your bridegroom, your husband, watch you cavort in bed with the wife you divorced to marry her or him. Let me turn it around, because it's the woman role as his bride. We let some hairy ex-husband we live to get rid of that's abused us and enslaved us and ruled us crawl back in bed, the marriage bed of our bridegroom, and then defend him? Defend him, he's not as bad as he looks. That's what pulls you out of this marriage with him, out of the blood. Simultaneously, when you put off the old man, the breath of the Holy Spirit strengthens the new man. And it is daily dying to that old man. And as I've said probably 100 times, F.B. Meyer's words, spiritual growth is climbing a stairway of dead, our former dead self. You finally conquer one side of your self-serving being, and you stand at the height of, on top of it, and that only gives you a view to see another part of yourself. It's got to be reckoned dead in Christ to displace it for the new man, eternal and joyous, and as long as he's in you, what Murray didn't know how to say but knew, steadily, when you're asleep even, works to transform and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, which is the expressions of the Spirit. Now get on the telephone and let me know you've learned something. Well, I've been talking for 40-some minutes. It's time for you to talk. I got enough Voice of Faith here now to take your calls. I want you to get on the telephone. Secret 16 has been revisited. We're going to do it again this year. It's going to be Secret 16 again. I like to slap the devil with that number. So if you haven't made your commitments, 3,000 giving, 10,000 by Christmas, or 300 giving, 3,000, what is it, 700 giving, 3,000 by Christmas, and 300 giving, 10,000 by Christmas, do it now. Make your reservations for the cathedral on Sunday. And I'm still wanting you to firm up. You can't say it too often. I've made the commitment. This is what I'm going to do. These are the times I'm available. And just tell me what to do. We still need to be able to function with volunteers. You understand?
Yes, sir.
I want to take the power out of the devil's hands to cripple this ministry with paid staff that stop listening and start working and backslide. Happens every time. I want volunteers until, at the very least, I can run a festival and make the paid staff come in here and listen to the teaching, which they stop doing when they go to work. I'm working for the Lord now. I've graduated. No, you haven't. You've entered boot camp. You've just really got on the front lines out of a comfortable chair watching the war on television. The analogy is pretty apt. That's what most of my congregation does. They pay less money to God than they do the government. So they can watch the war from television and watch the fight of faith by television. You come here full time, it's war.
Yes, sir.
And they need to be strengthened. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith in the blood is more than belief, it's acting. As though you view the blood the way God views it. His love poured out. Your rottenness poured out. Now get on the telephone. You could do better. There's enough of you listening to occupy every voice of faith in here tonight. It'd help all of you to call and say to the voice of faith, I'm learning every day how rotten I am. How thankful I am that Christ died in my place, and I can put off the old man daily, and his breath of the Spirit will move into that battle in my spirit and strengthen my ability to do it. You've got to start the action with faith. And some of you haven't done a thing. Just sat here and listened like a gimlet-eyed lobster, which we made famous years ago with a painting I kept in here. Get on the telephone. I'm never going to play that song again. I told you I Christianize these songs by telling you just blot every other word in the song out of your mind and just let me make that my question. Why tell me why. Haven't I heard from you? What are you doing there, sitting and watching? Oh, somebody else will call. No. If you're watching me and you're one of this congregation, I'm telling you, get on the phone. Tell me why. Haven't I heard from you?